We're glad you're here. The topic today is the life and times of Anna Nicole Smith. Now, wait, don't touch that dial. I know what you're thinking, another tabloid show. No, of course not. This is still the Inside Scoop. We still discuss the politics and policies that divide Democrats and Republicans and what goes on in Washington and how the law should work. Actually, Anna Nicole Smith raises interesting questions of when the government should intervene in a person's private life. And discuss these questions with me, I've invited Republican strategist and Virginia lawyer, Phil Griffin.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Phil, Anna Nicole Smith's death, apart from being on the tabloids, raises a lot of legal questions. It's actually before the United States Supreme Court on the question of whether she, I guess it would be now her estate, or the estate of the son of her 90-year-old ex-husband, should get the hundreds of billions of dollars, and now that she's died, it goes to her child. It's a very, very messy case. And it raises the question, I think, of, when a 26-year-old marries a 90-year-old, is this something that society should approve of? Now, your party has come down very strong, and I know you personally have come down strong on saying that gay couples should not be allowed to get married. Why are gay couples who, live and love together for 30, 40 years not allowed to get married, but Anna Nicole Smith at age 26 can marry a 90-year-old multi-hundred millionaire, clearly for his money? Apparently she went to Greece right after the wedding, and that's okay. Why is Anna Nicole Smith, if you will, the Republican moral beacon while these gay couples are not?
I'm not sure that Anna Nicole Smith is the Republican moral beacon or a moral beacon for anybody, but she does show this, and that is that individuals are free to choose who they seek to marry. I'm not sure that he was quite 90 years old. I thought he was only in his late 80s.
No, he was 89. He turned 90 during their marriage and then died soon after.
He sure did. It might be a marriage that you and I may disagree with. We may not understand why they got married, but they do have the freedom to do that, the freedom to choose who they seek to marry. And in this case, he chose a very attractive, very much younger lady than he was. And yes, indeed, he had billions in assets, which most of us don't. But it was a marriage that he approved and she agreed to. And for those reasons, I don't think the government or the Republican Party should step in and invalidate it for those reasons. I personally don't think it's the greatest marriage in the best of taste, but I agree with their freedom to choose.
Okay, now, Phil, you know where I'm going to go with this, because every word you've just said is an argument for allowing gay couples to marry. Churches may disagree with it. People may not feel that it's correct. They may think it's immoral and it's a sin, but it's not their choice. It's the choice of the two people who consent to marry. Why is it that Anna Nicole Smith at age 26 and this multi-hundred millionaire at age 90, I mean, she's a stripper. Many would classify their marriage, I'm sorry, as a form of high-class prostitution. That seems okay. That's their choice, while a gay couple who, under Virginia law, can't marry another person that they love, that they're sexually attracted to, it's illegal. Why can't they marry under these same principles?
Well, not only is it in Virginia, but it's in almost every other state in the nation. There's both a statute on the books making a marriage between gays or lesbians illegal, and in addition, most states, more than 35, also have constitutional amendments that prohibit the types of marriages that you've described.
Are they morally inferior to Anna Nicole Smith?
I don't know that it's a question of morals. I think you had raised the issue of whether it was biblically correct or not. I think from my position and the Republican Party's position, it's simply against the state code, and it's against the federal code.
But it's not. You can't just resort to the law. You can't just say it's against the state code, because you and I know laws change. And you can advocate for change, and one of the things you advocated for in Virginia was, in fact, a constitutional amendment to put that in the law.
That's correct.
You can't just say, well, it's against the law, and wave your hands. You and I have power through an influence to change the law. Shouldn't couples like the couple that you represented, I want to go into that case, case of Lisa and Janet Marie Jenkins, because it's a very interesting case. We'll get to the details in a minute. But shouldn't couples who consent to marry, just like Anna Nicole Smith and her octogenarian or nonagenarian husband, shouldn't they have those same rights? Aren't they at least of the same moral standing as Anna Nicole Smith, if not more?
Well, I think, and you had asked me this question once before, that if there's a gay couple or a lesbian couple that wants to get married, obviously they cannot do it in Virginia. But there are states out there, such as Vermont, where they can enter into civil unions, or Massachusetts, where they can go and get some form of recognition by that state, even though they are not a particular resident of that state. And in fact, in the case you're referring to, that's exactly what this couple did, is they traveled to Stowe, Vermont on vacation and decided to enter into a civil union.
And they could also go to the Connecticut and New Jersey. But my question is, why are Republicans in Virginia and in 46 states, let's say, across the nation at least, advocating that gay couples who are in love, who want to build a life together 50 years, who aren't, you know, marrying a stripper and she marrying a 9-year-old man she knows is going to kick off and get hundreds of billions of dollars, they're marrying for reasons that straight couples marry. I think it's fair to say, maybe you disagree, but the marriage of a gay couple is more similar to the marriage of a straight couple than the marriage of Anna Nicole Smith was to her husband. That's way out there, and yet you defend one marriage and don't think laws should allow the other. Why?
Well, as I said, I think that marriage is defined, as Virginia just passed a constitutional amendment, as between a man and a woman. And they each have to be over the age of 18 years old, and they have to meet very limited residency requirements in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that's all that there is. They can't be related by blood.
Right, that's the law. But you advocate for that law.
I did advocate for that law, and I advocated...
Would you advocate for another law? To say that there shouldn't be a certain group of age. I'll tell you, a friend of mine gave me an interesting thing. We were talking about Anna Nicole Smith, and he talked about sort of the gross factor when two people get together as a couple. And he said his view, the gross factor, is half your age plus seven. You know, I did some sort of interesting calculations.
Okay.
So for a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old's pretty much the limit. 16 is too young. For a 30-year-old, you take half, you add 7, it's 22. It's kind of a little fun game there. If you're 40, you know, and you want to marry a 27-year-old, that's pretty much the limit. 26 is a little gross. For a 90-year-old, according to this magic formula, she'd have to be at least 52. Otherwise,
right,
it's kind of gross. Why not provide some, it doesn't have to be that formula, but some formula to say, we know what happened with Anna Nicole Smith. He wanted to have sex with a stripper. He is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. She wanted his money. They got together. They did something that would be illegal in every state except Nevada, only they did it for hundreds of billions of dollars. Why aren't Republicans stopping that marriage rather than the marriage of two people who are in a more normal situation in love and want to raise a family together?
Well, using this particular marriage as an example, I have described it as a marriage in bad taste. And bad taste doesn't necessarily mean that it's illegal or immoral. It's just in bad taste. And the government,
you wouldn't prohibit it?
The government should not get in the business of determining, other than an age minimum, what the age difference between two people in love should be.
Well, whether they were in love or not, I guess we'll never know. It's certainly an unusual kind of love. But the point is, I think, is that people in your party are constantly attacking gay couples and their love and their relationships. And maybe they think that's in bad taste, but somehow you're willing to defend the moral beacon of Anna Nicole Smith. I know she's not a moral beacon in your mind. But I know that you're willing to defend her right to make these decisions.
Sure.
And you're not willing to defend the right of Janet and Lisa Marie Jenkins to make their decisions. Why not?
I think marriage is defined as between a man and a woman, and it should stay that way and not change.
But simply stating a definition doesn't make it true. I mean, in Virginia, marriage was defined between a white person and a white person, or a black person and a black person, until the 60s. That was a definition, and someone could come on and say, well, that's the definition. We shouldn't change it. What is the moral relevance, or the political or the legal backup of this definition? Why do you think it's right?
Well, I think that it probably goes back to, if you're looking for its original intent and original foundation.
I'm looking for your belief.
My belief is that the original intent comes from the Bible.
Okay.
And I think whether you're dealing with the issue of homosexuality or whether you're dealing with the definition of marriage, it certainly wasn't between Adam and Adam. It was between Adam and Eve.
Well, actually, and to be more exact, it was between Jacob and Leah and Rachel and two concubines. I mean, polygamy was certainly allowed in the Bible. There was also, of course, you could trade, you know, work for the woman, right? You have to work so many years and build sheep. And one interesting thing, way past the Bible, but as recently as 100 years ago, people may not even know this, But prior to what was called Married Women's Emancipation Acts, you know this as a lawyer, mm-hmm. Married women couldn't even own property because the women were seen almost as a possession, as a property. So if you're going to go by sort of biblical law, isn't the proper biblical law that women are possessions and should be treated as possessions, and you can buy and sell them just like the Bible?
Well, I don't think that that's the way that it works today. You can't.
It isn't.
It isn't the way it works today.
But 100 years ago,
right.
Before the Married Women's Emancipation Act, married women couldn't own property because they were understood, in a sense, to be property themselves. My point is that you can't just say this is the way it's existed for 100 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years, and it can't change. I want to know the moral basis for saying that Anna Nicole Smith is in bad taste, but she can get her marriage. Britney Spears. Bad taste.
Bad taste, short marriage,
but
no question.
But she can get involved in marriage. I mean, this affects people's lives. I mean, mm-hmm. she has a baby daughter. We don't know who the father is. It's a mess. It's an ugly mess. It's the $100 million baby, right? It seems to me that if they're going to have any laws, any prohibitions, you would start affecting the lives of people like Anna Nicole Smith before you start saying, I'm sorry you're gay, you can't get married in our state. That's what I'm trying to understand.
From my perspective, I have not heard of any, either at the state or national level, any movement to change the federal definition of marriage based on the facts and circumstances in Anna Nicole Smith's case. While I think that...
And you wouldn't support one.
And I wouldn't support one anyway. I think that the Defense of Marriage Act that was changed in 1996 is sufficient as it is now and doesn't need to be amended at this time.
Okay, but I can't get a reason from you.
On
why Anna Nicole Smith has the right to do a bad taste marriage, but gay couples don't, other than it's the way it's always been. That's really the only answer you have.
Marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage is one of the intentions of marriage is to procreate and have children. Again, in this particular set of facts and circumstances, they went through the in vitro fertilization process.
You're talking, of course,
Janet
about
and Lisa.
Lisa and Janet. What's interesting is that Anna Nicole Smith and her husband couldn't have children. I think he was a bit too old for that. I don't know. 90 years old? I don't know. I kind of don't want to know. But the point is they probably couldn't have children, whereas Lisa and Janet Marie Jenkins, they did. They had in vitro fertilization.
Right.
They had a child
donor,
together
correct.
Through a sperm donor, as so many lesbian couples do, as, in fact, Dick Cheney's daughter. Has mm-hmm. just done with her partner. And what's interesting to me is this difference, that somehow Anna Nicole Smith is of this higher moral basis. I want to get our listeners into the question.
Sure.
When we come back, I also want to address the question of the estate tax, because
okay.
one of the things Republicans support is very limited estate taxes. And a general principle, which I agree with, is that normally you should be able to give all the money you want to your spouse when you die and pay no estate taxes on it. But in a case like Anna Nicole Smith, I think it's very different. I think there's a difference between a couple that plan to live and love together for, 50 years or 20 years or at least 5 years, and a stripper marrying an old man on his deathbed who has hundreds of billions of dollars. I'd like to suggest that money might be best used to allow kids all across America to go to college, that maybe if there's a certain age limit, maybe we should be taxing those kinds of marriages. At least it seems to me that gay couples should have the right to do this, Anna Nicole Smith not. But I want to get to that question. I also want to get to you folks. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Call in, let us know what you think. You can also comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors, your friends.
Or your family.
People who want to share ideas.
Opinions.
Cultures.
Lifestyles.
Art.
Sports.
Music.
Events. Entertainment.
History.
Science.
Beliefs.
People who want to learn about television.
Producing.
Directing.
Cameras.
Audio.
Lighting.
Editing. Or radio. Talk. Music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is,
you can say it here.
Because we're Public Access.
For the people.
By the people.
It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one, between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare. Please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website.
Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college, except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the life and times and legal troubles of Anna Nicole Smith, and actually the political questions too, because the laws surrounding her case and what happened to her actually reverberate in less common situations and questions like the estate tax, marriage, and really whether or not the government should be intervening in private lives. We just looked up, apparently the man she married, J. Howard Marshall, left behind a son who's also died. This is a case that went to the United States Supreme Court between Anna Nicole Smith and his son, J. Howard Marshall. He's dead. He leaves behind a wife, apparently no children. She's, of course, dead. Her son is dead. Lots of people are fighting over the paternity of this perhaps $1.7 billion baby. What strikes me in all of this, I think, is a problem we have in America, and that is that this baby, through sheer serendipity, I think, is worth $1.7 billion. Certainly the baby didn't earn the money. Even her mother really didn't earn the money, unless you consider what she did to this 9-year-old man earning the money, which, even prostitutes don't get that kind of fees. And yet this child is going to have $1.7 billion. There may be some taxes that go, but I have no problem giving this child, a few million to survive on, but wouldn't this money be best used to help the many poor children across America who weren't as lucky as this baby to be born in this very strange family?
Well, it certainly is a lot of money, and it could be put to good use, but the way that our legal system is set up, and we're making lots of assumptions that this child will be the sole beneficiary and that the Supreme Court case will be decided in the child's favor.
You can split $1.7 billion 17 ways, and it's still $100 million.
It's still a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money.
But it would appear, assuming that that's the number, after the lawyer's bills are all paid and after the estate taxes are paid, which will probably be in excess of 50%, that the child will have more than $500 million at the child's disposal.
Right.
And you're right. It may be serendipity. It may be fate. It may be someone's miraculous plan. And I would hope that this child would...
Someone's miraculous plan?
I would hope the child would use the money wisely once they turn 18. Obviously, somebody will be appointed as the guardian of the child until the child becomes 18, at which point we hope that this individual will be a responsible adult.
I hope you're not saying this is God's plan, child has... I mean...
I don't believe our government should create a set of laws to punish 1-year-old or 2-year-old children just because they have parents who are wealthy.
Well, if you say it's punishing, I would argue that we punish kids that are born in poverty today that can't go to college, that can't, some of them are hungry or have, their parents are having trouble making ends meet. And that I have no problem with that estate tax. You would abolish that. You would say that takes away $500 million and leaves it with $500 million, you would say abolish it and make it $1 billion that this child gets, even if it means that less money has to go to student aid and less money goes to Medicare and less money goes to fund our troops. It's more important that, baby Smith get $1 billion instead of $500 million than all the things that fund our government.
Well, the way the estate laws are set up right now, anybody that has an estate over $2 million
right.
is going to be taxed and taxed at an exorbitant
rate. Well, that's
going
up, though.
And it goes up for the next couple of years. It's eliminated for 1 year, and then it goes back down
right.
to the limits from several years ago. So anybody that has a sizable insurance policy and or a house is looking right now at estate taxes.
Actually, the Democrats offered to give up to $6 million per person, so it'd be $12 million for a couple. If you've got a home that's worth more than $12 million, you've got a really nice home.
You're doing all right.
You're doing all right. I mean, the last I saw, the estate tax affected half of 1% of Americans, and then, of course, they don't all die every year. So you're talking less than 1,000 estates a year. It's really not that many estates, and yet to protect the advantage of super wealthy babies, instead of allowing people who work for a living, I mean, let's just compare this baby to a waitress or a secretary or someone that's working three or four jobs, just struggling to stay afloat. You know, Republicans have not been supporting an increase in the minimum wage. They're struggling to get their kids through college. It seems to me I'd rather cut the income taxes, cut the Social Security taxes of someone working hard than give another $500 billion to the baby of a 26-year-old stripper who married a 90-year-old. Is that too much to ask?
I think I'm all for cutting Social Security taxes, cutting the income tax brackets. I understand the Democratic Party is not in favor of doing that.
For the poor, yes.
But, I'm all for it. And I hope that if that's part of Nancy Pelosi's agenda in Washington, that it passes.
But the money has to come from somewhere. I mean, you know, Republicans want to do this war in Iraq. Democrats are against it. It's very, very expensive. In fact, one of the interesting things I saw about the price of the war is that we have already spent almost $400 billion on the war. That was the entire cost of Hillary Clinton's universal health care program back in 94 that everyone said was too expensive. We could have had universal health care in the United States, or we could have the wonderful success we've had in Iraq.
I'm glad we've had the war on terror instead of universal health care.
Well, this is just the war in Iraq. This isn't Afghanistan or everything else. The point is the money has to come from somewhere.
Right.
You want to cut estate taxes. You want to cut income taxes. You want to cut Social Security taxes. But what spending would you cut?
Well, as Ronald Reagan showed in the 1980s, if you cut taxes, you will increase revenue. If you do the same thing.
Oh, come on. You really believe that?
Sure. The numbers lie it out. I mean, if you cut tax rates, and John F. Kennedy believed it, Ronald Reagan believed it, then the revenue will increase.
Unfortunately, it hasn't been true, has it?
Capital gains taxes under George Bush, if you cut the capital gains tax rate, you will increase the amount of revenue because you will free up capital.
I must say I'm amused just because, you know, I've studied economics. I'm aware of the Laffer curve. And it may well be true that if you tax at 95% and you cut the rate down to 90%, you get more tax rates. Of course, John F. Kennedy was cutting 70% to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at some point, that stops. If the tax rate is 2% and you cut it to 1%, I think we can both agree you don't get an increase in taxes. Is that fair?
If it's a marginal tax cut, then you're going to have marginal returns. That's correct.
But my point is, if the tax rate is 5% and you cut it down to 1%, you're not arguing you get more tax revenue, are you?
I'd have to look at the numbers on that one, because I think the examples you've given are where you cut it from 70 to 50,
right.
or 50 to 28, or 36 to 33.
But my point is
this. Difference.
My point is this. It may well happen if the rate's very, very, very high. But we can all agree it's not going to happen if the rate is low. So what we're really arguing over is the empirical evidence. What we're saying is, does it work or doesn't it work? All you have to do is look at George Bush's budget. All you have to do is look at his tax cuts and the fact that they took us from surpluses as far as the eye could see under Bill Clinton to deficits as far as the eye could see under George Bush prior to September 11th, to know that at whatever rate the Laffer curve works, it's a laugh that to say that it would work at 28% or 30%. It just hasn't worked, has it?
Well, I would agree to disagree on that. I think that we view the economic Laffer curve differently.
Why do we have these huge deficits even before the...
You just mentioned the war in Iraq.
Before has been the war in Iraq, we had these deficits.
You're telling me that you think in the nine-month period
right.
between his inauguration
exactly
and September 11th, an eight-month period,
right.
that we ran up huge deficits in this country in 8 months.
We went from a systemic surplus to a systemic deficit, and the Congressional Budget Office, I think, will support those figures. Let me go to the phones. Glenn from Hickory, North Carolina, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. I want to bring up... I'm not going to touch on the gay marriage and legal system issues, but let me ask you, because this is rather confusing to me. Part of the problem is with your tax and estate issues is that, you know, this is capitalism. It's not socialism. And I think what you're stating as far as giving money away, I mean, you take away the ability to motivate people to be successful. And I think that, you know, there shouldn't be a dollar amount set on what you should be capped at making. I mean, I think part of the beauty of capitalism is that you have the ability to make as much as you can make if you're successful.
Well, let me ask you
this.
And
I don't think that should be perceived as an evil or terrible thing.
We can disagree on whether it's $2 million or $6 million or $10 million, and we might all disagree on that. But let's look at the case of Anna Nicole Smith. Let's look at an extreme case, because I think it is an extreme case. Here you have this 90-year-old multi-billionaire. Do you think that the estate taxes affected how much this guy made? I mean, do you think he would have worked less hard if the estate tax rate changed?
But the point is, that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not, I mean, you talk about people working hard for their money. Obviously, he created this estate.
Right.
Through hard work and through effort and through his company being successful.
And he had hundreds of millions of dollars. He could buy all the strippers he wanted. He could buy a wife. He could buy a Playboy model. I mean, he could get everything he wanted. Who is harmed by the fact that baby Anna Nicole Smith will only get $500 million instead of $1.7 billion? Who's harmed by that? I know who's helped. All that money goes to all the things that I support, whether it's helping kids go to college or health care or even our troops. I know who's helped. Who's harmed by the fact that this newborn baby only has $500 million?
Well, the point is you're putting a dollar amount that sounds astronomical with even to most anybody.
Well, right.
But
so,
at what point, you know, to make a designation like that I think is unfair. I don't think that you can come out and say, you know, one man's $500 million is another man's $100,000 is another man's $10,000. I mean,
you know, I don't know that any man would consider $100 million the same as $10,000, no matter how rich they are. But hold on. We're going to go to a break, Glenn. I want you to stay on the line because it seems to me that maybe we're not arguing over whether the estate tax should exist, but where the level of the estate tax is. I mean, even Glenn, who seems to support your position, Phil, suggests that at the level of $500 million, maybe even then, you know, that's an extreme amount of money. I forget who it was, and I wish I could remember the name, but there's an old joke about, I think it was Winston Churchill, who said to a woman something to the effect of, you know, she said she never would have sex with him, and he said, well, would you do it for $1 million? And she said, well, maybe for $1 million. And he said, so you're a prostitute. She said, "What? How dare you call me a prostitute? He said, lady, we've already established this. The only question is how high you cost. I probably said the joke wrong. But the question for me with the estate tax is maybe the level should be $5 million. Maybe it should be $10 million. But do you really think there should be no estate tax at all? I'm going to ask Glenn that, and I'm going to ask you that as well. Folks, if you want to join in the discussion, it's easy to do. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last couple.
No, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with her $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened start.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here, because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Would you marry a 90-year-old man for $1.7 billion? I think there are a lot of Americans that would, but should we have a kind of government policy that says, you know what, you marry a man, 26-year-old, and marry a 90-year-old man, he dies, you get all the money tax-free, your child has to pay estate taxes. Is this the kind of law that we support? Glenn from Hickory, North Carolina, let me just ask you, are you saying we should have no estate tax at all, or just that the limit should be higher?
Well, I mean, correct me, right now there is no taxation.
Actually, there is. It's going to be phased out. It's going to not exist in 2010.
Correct.
And then it's going to come back in 2011 because Congress is a mess.
It's going to come back with a roar.
Yeah. Right. So it basically, the limits go up from $2 million, I think, to $6 million, to I think $10 million.
I think it stops at $3 million right now. But
it stops at $3 million? I thought it goes up higher.
There's proposed legislation that would make it go higher.
I know it goes away in 2010 completely.
Correct.
So if Anna Colson Smith had died then. You know, but then it comes back with a vengeance. So the law right now, I think we can both agree, is messed up. But my question is, do you think there should be none, or should just have a higher limit?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, part of the estate that people develop, I mean, you've been taxed on the money you've earned anyways. I mean, what I don't want to see is your lack of ability to donate to charitable foundations with your estate, you know, to different organizations, to the arts, whatever your interest may be. And I don't want to see the motivation of people to earn money and drive and capitalism to go away.
And you really think that whether you make $500 million or you make $700 million is a real motivation for people?
Well, I mean, I think their ability to do what they want with their money and what they've created over a lifetime, I think, is important to them. And I think, you know, it's not like he didn't pay taxes all along on all the money he's earned throughout it. So, you know, I think there are opportunities for people to make donations and charitable fundings and whatnot that you know, you can do rather than give it to the government, which to me is a very inefficient and creating a government dependency of people that don't seem to, you know, capitalize on what they've been given. I would rather see some of these things going to people. And again, in this case, you're going to take a child who's going to get $500 million, but you know,
limit. Give this baby $1.7 billion, no problem.
I didn't say one point. I mean, what, I don't want to set a limit on it because I would like to see people encouraged to earn a good living through capitalism, make as much money as they can, and do what they think is right with their estate.
Well, I want to thank you for your call, Glenn. I do appreciate your opinion. Obviously, he seems to agree with you, Phil.
Boy, he's a bright guy. no, I tend to agree with Glenn, and listen, Americans pay taxes on just about everything. We pay sales tax, fuel tax, income tax, property tax, and currently we pay estate taxes. And they have tinkered with the estate tax legislation on and off for 20 years. And they established the limits for a 10-year period of time in 2001 for the next 10 years to 2011. And I agreed with the elimination of the estate tax in 2010 for the exact reasons that Glenn just stated and that I just stated. And I am opposed to the lion coming back in with a roar in 2011, because you will have anybody that owns a retirement plan, a house, or a life insurance policy will get nailed on the estate taxes, and they don't know it.
It's right. If you make $100 million, you make it nailed on the estate tax. Now, obviously, if you're trying to make minimum wage, you may not be able to send your kids to college. You probably won't be able to send the kids to college. You may have trouble feeding them anything but macaroni and cheese. And your children, who obviously are no more morally superior than Anna Nicole Smith's child, Well, they won't get a chance to go to college, but that's the American way, right, Phil?
Well, I mean, the American way is capitalism and freedom. And if you earn it and you work hard, you should get to keep it.
How did Anna Nicole Smith earn the money? How did she earn the money?
Whether it's you or me.
Let's be specific. How did Anna Nicole Smith earn the money?
She earned it as the beneficiary of a very smart marriage on her behalf, which I personally think was in bad taste.
Okay, so basically what we're saying to poor people is you really need to marry more rich 90-year-olds because trying to work hard and trying to put your kids through college, that's not morally approved. One of the things I know Republicans don't like is they don't want people who don't work to get any welfare. If you don't work, you should starve. But if you don't work and you're a trust fund baby, you know, if you just marry a 90-year-old, you should get hundreds of billions tax-free. How about an idea that we don't pay anyone that's not working and instead say, yes, you can give a certain amount to your heirs, but at the end of the day, we expect people to have to work for a living. No welfare for people who don't work, and no welfare for babies who make $1.7 billion by virtue of the fact that their mother got some breast implants and married a 90-year-old.
Well, it's clear that her child will not be the beneficiary of any welfare policies in the United States or, heck, any other country in the world. But I think welfare is there for a reason, and it's there as a safety net, and that there are exemptions for individuals to qualify for it right now.
Okay, so you support a basic safety net. I'm glad to hear that. Most Republicans don't.
I think there's got to be some sort of a minimum safety net, but I also think there have to be certain requirements that be met in order to qualify.
Let me go to Ed from Alexandria. Ed, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, sir. I have this observation. I'm 70 years old. I'm a senior citizen. And as you might discern from a conversation, you'll find I'm a Democrat. But this idea of the tax, death tax, so-called, or whatever, on the rich has been bannered about for years. And one of the things I've observed in the past, going back maybe as much as 20 years, is that the Republicans come up and say, look, it's awful. These people earned all this money. Let them keep it. $1 million, $2 million a state, whatever it is. But something the public doesn't know, all along they've done this. This business of revenue neutrality raises its ugly head. How are we going to pay for this? And the Republicans say, oh, we got a way of doing that. What we'll do is we'll change the basis on your house when you sell it. I'm living in a house I paid $100,000 for. It's now worth $450,000. Under that scheme of things, which keeps raising its ugly head as part of their program, instead of me passing on something that the market value of $450,000, if I died tomorrow to my kids, I go back now to a basis of $100,000. And as a result, I'm paying capital gains tax on $350,000. Go to the rich, give them, let them keep what they got, take it from the poor to establish revenue neutrality. Ed, that's the way the proposal works. And I guarantee you today, that same thing is going on in the back of these Republican minds that want to do all of this good stuff for the rich people so they've made all this money and earned it and don't have to pay.
Ed, hang on with me because you raise a lot of good issues and I want to take them apart piece by piece. First of all, just to be clear, when Ed dies, he will get a stepped-up basis on his house.
That's correct. He will get a
stepped-up
basis.
You won't pay taxes on that
on the difference
capital
between
gains.
$450,000 and $100,000.
That's right.
Correct.
So that law is already there, and I support that law, and I'm sure Phil does too.
And the second thing is that if I'm going to assume you've lived in the house for several years and that it's your marital residence, that it will also, if it passes to your spouse, she will get it without having to pay any taxes on it either.
That's true. But he raises another question, which is very important. It's where the heck is the money coming from? It's the point it seems like, oh, we're going to lower taxes. Now, you're saying that magically, if we ask people to pay less money to their government, they will pay more money to their government. And that, in fact, deficits will, we can lower tax rates to 1%. And, at some point, you know that's simply not true, and it hasn't been true under the Bush administration. We have a systemic deficit as far as the eye can see. That $500 million that Baby Smith is going to get or whatever in estate taxes, that's going to go to helping people with Medicare or helping kids go to college. Help the Democrats just passed a bill to actually make student loans cheaper. So which is more important in your view, allowing more kids to go to college or making sure that Baby Smith, Donnell, or whatever her name is, sorry for those who really know this stuff better than I do, gets a billion instead of 500 million.
Well,
how do you justify that?
The money will also be used to help defray the cost for Nancy Pelosi's new airplane, among other government costs.
Oh, I can't believe you went there, given that Nancy Pelosi was ordered to have that plane by the sergeant at arms who just came said that's the exact same thing that Denny Hastert had.
I just had to get that in there.
Yeah, I know, but it's as wrong as before. Go ahead.
But let me take Ed's comment that I did
appreciate.
Where's
the money coming from?
And he mentioned capital gains rates versus estate tax rates.
Right.
And you know, if it goes into your estate, then you're going to be hit more heavily if it's over. I mean, only a $2 million limitation right now on estate taxes. So if you
I think
have
it's already up to three or four, but
okay. But anyway, it's a what I would view as a relatively small number. If you live in New York City or if you live in Hollywood, California, and you own real estate, or heck, if you live in McLean or Fairfax County and own real estate, you're looking at potential estate taxes.
To be clear, it's per person. So if you have a couple, it's $3 million for each couple.
That's
for
correct.
For each person, for a total of six.
That's correct.
And when it goes up to $4 million, it's a total of $8
million. Well,
if you have a home that's more than $8 million, it seems to me that I have no problem with saying you should pay a little bit back in estate tax. Remember, the way estate tax works, folks, is it's not that you get, if you have $8 million, you get taxed on that $8 million. It's you get taxed on the amount you have above $8 million.
Correct.
And again, you know, Glenn was saying people are encouraged to work harder. I just don't think that if I'm making $500 million and someone gives me a raise to $600 million, I mean, I get an extra, you know, one in my bank account. I get to get an extra CD on the fire.
Sure.
But how does that change my lifestyle one iota? How does it change my children's lifestyle one bit? When you're talking about those huge sums of money, are people really working harder to get $600 million instead of $500 million?
Probably not at all. They're probably doing exactly as you've described. They'll put it in a CD or put it in a stock fund and
right.
earn 15% and earn an extra $150 million. Without lifting a finger,
right.
other than by calling their stockbroker
exactly.
and investing wisely.
That's exactly my point. You're making my point for me. So how does that help the economy? If you take that same $100,000 and give it to 10 individuals and they have $10,000 each, that may make the difference between them buying a car and not buying a car, buying Christmas presents for their kids. The multiplier effect, we know that double taxation is not about estate tax exclusively. If you buy a toy and then that person's paid wages, they're taxed on that,
mm-hmm.
and then that person goes and buys some food at a restaurant, and the waitress is taxed, and the money churns through the system and helps the economy, whereas a guy that's just got a CD earning interest, that doesn't help the economy.
But he should at least have the freedom to choose what investments he wants. If he wants to buy real
estate
instead.
He's dead. We're talking about the estate tax. He's dead. All right.
The estate tax is already going to hit Anna Nicole Smith. And her ex-husband.
Yes.
And it depends. It would appear
well,
that
it hit
twice.
It doesn't hit her until she died.
That's true.
To be clear.
Passed once to her tax-free.
Right.
Assuming that the Supreme Court rules in her favor.
Right.
And not against her. And then her estate would be taxed heavily.
Let me go back to Ed for a final comment. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes. My final comment is simply this. There are around this country. I'm a retired. I'm $35,000 a year, including Social Security. Most of everything I own to pass on is in my house.
And you don't have to worry about the estate tax.
No, I don't.
Right.
But if under the proposals, as I say, that's gone on for the last 20 years, unknown to the public, behind the scenes, they want to change my basis to what it is now, $400,000-$500,000 from the original $100,000.
But that's not a bad thing for you, Ed. Just to be clear, I mean, I agree with you on where the money's coming from, but an increased basis means less taxes for you.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying right now the basis is that. If their proposals would backdate the basis so that I have to pay capital gains on... You see what I'm saying?
I do. I just want to make sure you understand the law, because that what the law should be is different from what the law is. When you die, Ed, your house automatically gets a stepped-up basis. If you're married,
that's exactly right.
It goes to your wife tax-free, and after you die, not only do you get a stepped-up basis, you don't pay capital gains tax, but because you haven't earned millions of dollars, you won't pay any estate tax either. So
that's
you're
right.
Okay.
But their proposal,
their proposal
is to go back and have the basis what I paid for the house so that I would have to pay capital gains on the interim amount that, of appreciation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
There have been various proposals.
On that? Because I haven't heard about this proposal. All right, Ed, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I haven't heard that proposal.
I'm not aware of Ed's specific proposal pending before Congress, but I am aware that there have been discussions for the last several years to do different things with the tax laws before the Senate Finance Committee. And that was one of the things that was mentioned at one point in time about 2 or 3 years ago, but has never passed.
So that was actually a Republican proposal.
I don't know there was a Republican.
Well, you folks controlled the Senate Finance Committee 2 years ago.
I know it was before the committee.
So I assume it was a Republican proposal. You wouldn't support that, would you?
I wouldn't support it unless it was part of an overall estate package, sort of an omnibus or comprehensive estate planning package.
Yeah, well, I appreciate Ed bringing that up because I hadn't heard about that proposal either. Let me ask you about the question. It's interesting because we point out that if Ed dies, and we hope Ed lives a nice long life, but if he dies and he's married, his wife can live in his residence, and that's tax-free. It doesn't matter how expensive the house is. There's no problem with that. There's just a tax when it gets passed on to children. Now, as you know, that's not the case with gay couples. They can live together for 50 years, and if one of them dies, they have the remaining person in the house has to pay taxes on that house, state taxes and sometimes federal taxes as well. That's not fair, is it?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the situation, but it doesn't seem to be fair. But I know
they're not married. I mean, except in Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut, and New Jersey, they have civil unions. But in Virginia, for example, you got a gay couple. And they've lived together for 50 years, and let's say they're not making millions. Let's say they're, I don't know when the estate tax kicks in Virginia, but they state taxes tend to be lower than federal estate taxes. Mm-hmm. Let's say the home was worth $500,000, which isn't that extraordinary for Virginia. If you got a gay couple, they could be in their 80s, and you literally have to throw the guy out on his ear because he has to pay, the one who's still the survivor, has to pay state estate taxes that a straight couple wouldn't have had to pay.
They're in the same boat that somebody cohabiting together who's unmarried would be.
That's right.
And what we do is encourage people to draft wills and medical powers of attorney.
But they can't get around it through a will because it's a tax. A spouse gets it tax-free.
They can decide who to leave it to, but you're right.
They would be taxed on it.
They'd be taxed the same way a couple cohabiting together would.
Okay. So, again, Anna Nicole Smith can get hundreds, millions of dollars residence. I mean, the Taj Mahal, she could get to her tax-free because, you know, she's 26 and she married the 90-year-old man. But a gay couple that's just eking out a living and have lived together for 50 years and maybe on Social Security, they can't get Social Security either, can they?
Not based on each other's benefits.
Right.
It would be based on their own individual benefits, correct.
How do you justify, according to my United States Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the laws, how do you justify treating straight couples, whether or not they have kids, doesn't matter whether they procreate, allowing them to pass on this money tax-free, but taxing gay couples?
Well, I haven't seen a court in however many hundred years rule that the Equal Protection Act applies to gay or lesbian couples.
But shouldn't it?
No.
Why not?
We argued in our case, it came up, and the judge, I believe, ruled correctly that the Equal Protection Amendment didn't apply.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that, and let's talk about your case. By the way, I should say, you were featured in the Washington Post magazine. I read this entire article. It's a very interesting article, by the way, folks. If you want to review this, you can probably get it online. It's a long article talking about Lisa and Janet Marie Jenkins, a couple that was civil unioned.
Correct.
In Vermont, which was supposed to give all the same rights of marriage, at least under state law. They had a child together. Lisa was impregnated. They got artificial insemination, and she actually sort of grabbed the child and ran. Doesn't let Janet see the child. What is it about gay couples that you feel under the law they should have secondary rights? Whether it's Janet's right to visit with her child, her that she helped raise, whether it's taxing couples upon their death, whether it's Social Security benefits, why do you feel that this inequality is the way the law should be?
I don't believe they get secondary rights. I think they get the same rights that single individuals or couples cohabiting together who are not married that they get.
Right, but they can't get married.
And Virginia wouldn't recognize their civil union or marriage if they got married from another state.
Right.
Both under our statute and under the Constitution.
But that's not fair, is it?
Well, that's the law, and that's the way it is.
I understand it's the law. It's not fair, is it?
That's certainly your opinion.
Well, why do you think it is fair?
I think that they're given the same rights that single individuals are given or couples that cohabit together. I do not believe personally, professionally, that they should be given an elevated status.
How about an equal status?
Well, I don't believe they should be given an elevated status to those couples that are married, men, husbands, and wives.
Okay, so now we have here Janet Marie Jenkins. Here's a picture of her in the Washington Post magazine. She raised this child from birth. She knew this child from birth. She changed the diapers. She acted a good parent. No one disputes that she was a good parent. We certainly have parents. Frankly, Anna Nicole Smith, I'm sure, was not the kind of parent Janet Marie Jenkins was. Anna Nicole Smith had drug problems. We don't know what happened to her son. Mm-hmm. But I doubt she was the kind of mother that Janet Marie Jenkins was.
Not the world's most qualified parent. I don't disagree.
No, but Janet Marie Jenkins is not judged on the basis of her parenthood. She's judged on the fact that because she's gay, Virginia says, we're going to take your daughter away from you and you can never see her again.
I don't know that was the rationale. When we looked at the case, the way that we set it up and filed it is that essentially looked at the paternity statutes. And in this case, Lisa Miller was the biological mother of the child. The father of the child was a sperm donor. And Janet Miller Jenkins was not the father, and Janet Miller Jenkins was not the mother. And based on that simple set of facts and circumstances, she could not be legally adjudicated the mother or the father of the child. She did have certain rights. She still has certain rights under Virginia law, and that's to file under the statute of an individual with an interest, like a grandparent or an aunt or uncle. But she never did.
Okay, but your argument
was...
She had the option
to adopt this child, and she never did.
Your argument was rejected. And one of the reasons it was rejected by both Virginia and the Vermont courts is they said this. If you have a marriage, and a civil union under Vermont law is required to be equal to a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a marriage between a man and a woman, and the woman gets pregnant, the husband doesn't have to adopt the child. That child is considered legally his. And because they were civil unioned in Vermont, and because the Vermont Supreme Court said under Vermont law, under the Vermont Constitution, you are required to treat gay couples equally with straight couples, therefore, Lisa Marie Jenkins has every right that any father would have, even if his wife is sleeping around, would have a right to raise that child and be treated as the father of that child. Now, the courts rejected your analysis.
Well, they approved some of it and rejected part of it. Essentially, what the Virginia Court of Appeals did is agreed that the court in Vermont had original jurisdiction. And as I understand it, the case right now is still pending, a motion pending before the full Court of Appeals in Virginia, and the case is scheduled to be reheard or at least reviewed in April of this year up in Vermont.
Okay, it's the Vermont court that held that, yes, that she should be treated just as a man
That's
would
correct.
Be treated in that similar situation. Are you going to argue the case in the Virginia Court of Appeals?
Well, if she asks me to, I will go ahead and argue it, but right now she's got somebody else who's lead counsel, and they're working on the case.
And that's with a group, with the Liberty Group?
That's correct, Liberty Council.
Liberty Council, that's Jerry Falwell's organization,
I think, right? Matt Staver is the lead attorney and is associated with Liberty University.
With the Liberty University, which is Jerry Falwell's
correct.
University. Why is it, to get back to, I guess, our original question, why is it that Republicans believe, and I don't mean all Republicans, because there are many Republicans that don't believe this, but you and...
Like Rudy Giuliani.
Like Rudy Giuliani, exactly. Like Rudy Giuliani. But you and most Republicans believe that you can intervene in the case of Lisa and Janet Marie Jenkins. Mm-hmm. You can say to Janet Marie Jenkins, I don't care that you've raised this child from birth. I don't care how much love you have for this child. I don't care how much love this child has for you, how good a mother you have. We are stripping this child away. You can never see her again. And yet, with Anna Nicole Smith, you say, you know what? If a 26-year-old stripper wants to marry a 90-year-old billionaire for his money, we're not going to judge it. Why is it that you give Anna Nicole Smith all these moral rights, but, Janet Marie Jenkins, she's left without her child?
Well, it gets back to where we were in the beginning of the show. I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, not two women, not two men. And we didn't attempt to strip anything away from Janet. We attempted simply to have her a determination as to whether or not she was the father or the mother of this child, and the answer was no. And under Virginia law, Lisa Miller obtained sole custody because she was the only identifiable mother or father in the case, and Janet had legal rights and had legal opportunities and waived them.
Well, obviously...
Elected not to pursue them.
No, obviously under Vermont law, she had every full right as a mother of this child.
But she had the same rights in Virginia and didn't ever pursue them. That's
she, she had the rights in Virginia.
She had the
Janet
right
Marie
to go...
Jenkins.
They could have attempted to do an adoption up in Vermont and have it ratified down here in Virginia.
She would you have supported that? Would Liberty University have supported such an adoption?
I argued that. I argued that she had the... She had, in other words, that Janet... the non-biological mother had certain legal rights and that she simply failed to exercise.
Except that, of course, in Vermont, no adoption is required. And what your client did is, in fact, there are laws, the International Parental Kidnapping Act, the Uniform mm-hmm. Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement
right.
Act, there are laws that are designed to say you can't grab a kid and go to another state and look for more favorable rulings. Mm-hmm. They lived in Vermont. They were civil unioned under Vermont. And even the Virginia court held, hey, this is Vermont's decision. This is not Virginia's decision. So basically what you're telling Janet Marie Jenkins is you should have done something that no other Vermonter is required to do under the law, even though Vermont says you have equal rights under the law, because you had reason to fear that your partner might run to another state, which is illegal anyway. That's your argument.
Well, I don't believe that Lisa Miller ran in this particular case. As I recall, the testimony was that Janet helped her get packed up and knew where she was going in Virginia, and that they had established some contact with the child and set up an arrangement. So it wasn't as though she was fleeing the jurisdiction never to be heard from again.
This is the Quality News Network. The coalition security sweep in Baghdad is in full swing as U.S.-led forces smashed into Sunni strongholds today. Iraqi police say 35 radical Shia and a large cache of weapons have been captured during the early morning raids. Iraq's president says top Shia militia leaders have been ordered to hide out while the coalition security sweep takes place. Many have left the country altogether. In the south, British troops have closed the Syria and Iranian borders to choke off weapons smuggling into Iraq. Casualty numbers are unknown at this point. However, in a separate incident in the Anbar province, one U.S. Marine has been killed. The House is poised to vote today on a non-binding, non-partisan resolution opposing the president's escalation of the war. The Senate will hold a test vote on similar legislation tomorrow. In Afghanistan, both NATO and Taliban leaders are gearing up for what is expected to be a bloody spring offensive. Rebel leaders say that they've deployed 10,000 fighters. The U.S. is adding 3,200 extra troops to the 45,000 NATO forces already fighting in the country. A fast-thinking pilot and very brave passengers and crew took charge and overpowered a hijacker above the Canary Islands. The pilot told them what to do in French, which the hijacker didn't understand, and then went in for a hard landing. He slammed on the brakes and sped up. The hijacker fell down, and flight attendants threw boiling water on his face and chest. After that, 10 passengers pounced on him and beat him. About 20 people were slightly injured in the landing, and the Spanish police took the hijacker to jail. Housing starts fell further than expected in January to their lowest level since 1997, and permits for single-family homes as well to a six-year low. Those fell as well. The slump was widespread, down 15.2% in the Midwest, 11.2% in the South, and 28.5% in the West. However, builders are still optimistic. Their confidence level is the highest that it's been since last June. In Nevada, the FBI is investigating the state's governor to determine if he exchanged gifts for influence during his term as a Republican congressman involved as a defense contractor who received millions of software contracts in Congress at the same time that he gave now Governor Jim Gibbons cash, Caribbean trips, and plane rides. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Liquid or gas flowed through cracks penetrating underground rock on ancient Mars, according to a report based on some of the first observations by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. These fluids may have produced conditions to support possible habitats for microbial life. Overall, the world's temperatures in January were the warmest since records were first initiated back in 1880. Scientists say global warming and the effect of an El Niño are to blame. An extensive British study reveals women who eat fish twice a week during pregnancy give birth to children who are smarter and who have better developmental skills. Three California car insurance companies have lost their lawsuit. A Superior Court judge says customer premiums should be based on their driving records, not where they live. It's been a battle between the government and insurance companies for a decade. Lithia Motors, a major Chrysler dealership in 15 states, has posted a 47% decline in quarterly earnings. The car dealership company says higher costs ate up monies earned from growth in new car sales. Taking a look at the market right now, oil is trading at $59.05 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is $672.50 an ounce. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 16 points, 12,748. NASDAQ's down 4, S&P 500 down 3.5. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Welcome to Dialogue, to Conversation, to a place where the experts wear working clothes.